بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue studying this blessed book of عمدة الأحكام, and the best times you could spend your time in is with the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, because the more you study his instructions and his sunnah, the more you get closer to loving him and you get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So by far, it is one of the greatest deeds to spend your time in studying this knowledge. And the best of knowledge is the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Hadith number 60, and we would like someone to volunteer to read it for us. Yes, Abdurrahman or Faisal got the mic first. So.
Abdullah ibn Umar reported, "I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, 'Don't prevent your women from going to the masjid when they seek your permission.'" Bilal bin Abdullah said, "By Allah, we shall certainly prevent them." On this, Abdullah ibn Umar turned towards him and reprimanded him as harshly as I had never heard him do before. He, Abdullah ibn Umar, said, "I am narrating to you that which comes from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you dare say, 'By Allah, we shall certainly prevent them.'" Muslim. Another narration: "Do not prevent the maid servants of Allah from going to the masjid."
Very well. Now, this hadith is talking about the ruling on women attending the prayer in the congregation. So what's the ruling? As you understand, it is permissible. Not only that, the Prophet ﷺ forbade the men. And he said, "You must not prevent women from attending prayer in the masjid if they wish to." So Abdullah ibn Umar was saying this, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father. Yet his son Bilal, being so jealous of what he's seeing and not liking what the women are doing, so he said, "Father, by Allah, we will prevent them." Not because he is going against the hadith of the Prophet, definitely, alayhi salam, but because of the chaos that women were causing at the time. I wish he had seen what they're doing in our times now. At his time, he thought that the women going in and out was a cause of fitna. So he said, "No, we will stop them." Now, anyone who would hear this, he would say that this was disrespectful to the Prophet's teachings, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is what made Ibn Umar, that is what made Abdullah ibn Umar, known as Ibn Umar, outraged. And he swore and he cursed his son so badly that they had never heard Abdullah ibn Umar ever utter such words in their lives. Why? Because he was outraged. How do you dare to say, "I will prevent them," when the Prophet says, "Do not prevent them"? And not only that, in Sir Alam al-Nubala and elsewhere, it tells us that Abdullah ibn Umar said to his son Bilal, "Go, wallahi, I will not speak to you at all." And Bilal kept on coming to his father and seeking his forgiveness, and he would not speak to him. Until Abdullah ibn Umar was on his dying bed, he used to come to him and he says, "Oh father, forgive me." And Abdullah ibn Umar would look the other way until he died. Why? To show the gravity, to show the seriousness of rejecting the Prophet's instruction sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even if you had a good intention. Because it is your right to ask, it is your right to inquire, but in a polite manner, not to object to the instruction of the Prophet alayhi salam. He could have said, "Okay father, I believe in what the Prophet said alayhi salam, but what to do when the women go and do bad things that are far greater and far serious than attending the prayer or not attending it? What should we do?" Then his father would have said, If this is the case, you may prevent them from going because the disadvantages are far more greater than the advantages. And that is why the scholars say that it is not permissible for men to prevent women from going to the masjid unless the disadvantages are greater. What disadvantages do you mean? Unless the disadvantages of the woman not taking care of the men. Imagine my woman is 5 times a day in the masjid and staying after the prayer for half an hour, not taking care of the children, not taking care of the house, not taking care of me. This is a greater sin than not to attend. Secondly, if women go out to attend the prayer, but with full makeup, with perfume, with clothes that are not in accordance to the Sharia, do we allow them? Scholars say no, because they are sinning by going. But in normal cases, I'll give you another scenario. In a case or a scenario where the woman wants to go to attend the prayer, but from my house to the masjid, she will be attacked. We live in a very bad neighborhood, and I know, and she knows, that she will be harassed or attacked. Do I allow her? No. Do I have the permission or the authority to stop her? Yes, I must, because I'm preserving her, I'm protecting her from an evil way that she would be facing even if she is attending the prayer. Of course, having said that, is it mandatory for women to attend prayer with the congregation? The answer is no. Is it best for women to attend prayer in congregation? The answer is no. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to one of his companions, female companions, that I know that you love to pray in my masjid, because a prayer in his masjid is 1,000 times greater than or equivalent to a prayer in the house. Yet, he said, yet praying in your house is better than praying in my masjid. And praying in the middle of the house is better than praying in your house. And praying in the living room is better than praying in the inner place in the house. And praying in your bedroom is better than praying in the living room. So the Prophet is making the circle much tighter and tighter to explain and to illustrate to us that a woman's prayer inside her house, away from people's eyes, are far better, far greater, and far rewardable at the side of Allah than praying in the masjid. Nevertheless, the fact remains, she wants to pray in the masjid, leave her, let her go. But she has to know that praying in her house is far superior than praying in the masjid. Now, we know that it is extremely rude and impermissible to go against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is how we should behave with people who go against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. When I speak to someone and I tell him, Akhi, the sunnah of the Prophet says is so and so and so, and he does, yeah, don't bring this to me. This gesture is enough for me to consider this person as an ignorant, and I would not even spend any more time trying to advise him or to give him da'wah. Why? Because he is arrogant and he's rejecting the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If he's inquiring, if he's asking, why is this, why is that, it's a different story. But if he shows that he's disgusted by the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, or he looks down at it in this fashion, this is something that is extremely great. And finally, we must pay great attention to taking care of our female members of the family. You have to take care of your wife. You have to take care of your daughter, of your sister, in the sense that you are the guardian and you should be the protector. So if you know that they go out of the house dressed immodestly or in a fashion that does not please Allah Azza wa Jal, it is your duty to stop them. If it's your wife, if it's your daughter, it's your duty to stop them, even if you had to force them. because you are responsible, you're the guardian. If she's your sister and your father is alive and he's taking care of her, you have only the power of advice. You cannot go and force her not to do this or that, because your father is her guardian, he's responsible on the Day of Judgment. Your responsibility lies in not giving her cooperation and in not leaving her without talking to her and giving her sincere advice. Okay, we move on to the following hadith. Hadith number 61. The brother would read it for us, please.
Abdullah ibn Umar, I offered with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam two rakats before the compulsory Zuhr prayer and two rakat after the Zuhr prayer. Two rakat after Jummah, Maghrib and Isha. In another narration, as for Maghrib, sunset, and Isha, late night, and Fajr and Jummah prayers, they were offered in his house. In a narration from Bukhari, Ibn Umar added, my sister Hafsa told me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to offer two light rakat, sunnah prayer, after dawn, before the ikama of the Fajr prayer, and it was the time when I never went to the Prophet.
Now this hadith is regarding what is known as ar-rawatib, the highly recommended sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. What are they? This is inshallah what we'll find after the break, so stay tuned.